Amen. Thank you, Carol and Karen. That was a blessing. Appreciate that. All right. Well, we're in the book of Judges, and we're going to look at several passages here in Judges. I want to talk to you about the sword of Gideon. Tim called it the pancake, the largest pancake, the cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it. The tent lay along. Verse 14, his fellow answered and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." You have any battles to fight? I'm sure you do. And just like Gideon had a battle here to fight and God's people had a battle, but it's very interesting that it says this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. And I've got news for you. The story here is not about Gideon. It's about the sword. It's about the promise. As we have the word of God, it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have promises just like Gideon. Every now and then somebody will say, "Well, you know, you're just checking the, you got your fleece out, don't you?" And as if that's a bad thing. I get my fleece out often by reading the scripture and trying to find an answer from God for a problem or something in the battle. And God's promises never fail. They never fail. And as Gideon, as he learned, God's promises do not fail. It didn't look like they were going to win. It looked like, I mean, really, the Midianites had them outnumbered, as we'll see. But the sword of Gideon, God's promises always stand true. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts today. Give us exactly what we need today. I pray that we'll grab hold of the promises of God today. And Lord, we'll realize that if we're going to have victory, we're going to have to claim your promise. Lord, we are going to have to search the scriptures. We're going to have to get on our knees and pray and find the promise to hold on to. Thank you for those promises. Thank you so much, God, that you never fail. Your promises never fail. And I pray if there's anyone here who's not saved, you'll save them today and that you'll help Christians today to win the battles, Lord, that we fight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The sword of Gideon. Gideon won the battle. He led the people, and the sword was instrumental in victory. Of course, his army was never as big as the Midianites' army, and then God whittled it down to 300 men. And so, again, he looked like he was going to lose. He looked like there was no way he could win. But the sword of Gideon, the promises of God. You know, the Bible says about the word of God, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And in Ephesians, it's a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And of course, they needed real weapons. I understand that. They needed great weapons like a pitcher. You fought a lot of battles with pitchers, right? And a candle. Yeah, they needed some weapons, obviously, to fight these battles. But all of it, this battle is won because God said, "You're going to win." God said, "Gideon, you're going to win the battle. You will win. Just keep going. I promise you, you will win." And you know, you may need God's promise today to win your battle. You may be involved in a battle today. You may have a battle as far as, I know folks, we've talked in men's prayer time about some battles at work and trying to talk to people about the Lord. And boy, it can be so discouraging, but you're going to win the battle. Just hold on to the promises of God and just keep going. The Midianites were in 50,000 tents, so we assume there was over 100,000 of them. They were stealing the crops from Israel. The people were starving. The people cried out to God, and God gives Gideon a great, great victory. But I just want to look at three things this morning in reference to this and hope that it'll apply to your life and you'll be able to use it in your life. First thing I want you to see is God's call. God's call in Gideon's life. Judges 6 and verse 11. It talks about this. Judges 6 and verse 11. We're kind of going back in time here. We already know Gideon, they win the battle. Judges 6 and verse 11. "There came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now you have to understand, Gideon is hiding from the Midianites. He is threshing wheat. The Midianites are stealing all the food from God's people. And so Gideon here, he's hiding from the Midianites. But it's interesting. God says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, I'm sure Gideon probably thought, I am not a mighty man of valor. Don't you understand? But God sees a man for what he can be. And God knew what Gideon could be. And God knew that if Gideon would just grab hold of the promises of God, that Gideon could be and would be this mighty man of valor. Verse 13, Gideon said unto him, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? You ever ask that question? You ever wonder that? I mean, God, if you're with us, why is this happening? I mean, we look at our nation today and certainly our economy and some different things. You ever kind of wonder, hey, you know, God, if you're with us, why is this happening? Why are we going through these things? Why do these things have to happen? And it says, where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Hey, Gideon, I'm about ready to take care of that, all right? It's going to be okay. And we all find ourselves in those situations. We all find ourselves kind of wondering, okay, God, where are you? Why aren't you doing the things that you used to do? And so the Bible says, the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. And obviously this conversation is going on, and Gideon can't believe, I'm going to be the one that leads the people against the Midianites. I'm going to be the one. And so God calls him to fight this battle, to win this battle. God makes it clear to him, hey, this is what I want you to do. And he says in verse 16, the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You will win. I'm going to be with you. It's okay. You're going to win this battle. And of course, Gideon's got to be wondering, how can I win this battle? And that's when we go into our text, as this continues with Gideon, as Gideon continues to ponder what God has said, and we come to our text where God says, okay, well, you know, Gideon, I want to show you more. You know, folks, don't be afraid to claim promises of God. Don't be afraid to look for promises of God. Don't be afraid to let God speak to your heart. You know, somebody said, well, you know, I don't think it's a good idea to put out the fleece, and I don't think it's a good idea to check the... Well, God sent Gideon to find out, hey, is this going to happen or not? God gave him something to hold on to. God many times sends me to the Word of God, and I don't know what to do, and I have to look in my Bible, and I have to read my Bible, and I have to find a promise of God. I've counseled several people about college here recently, and I always go back to the days of college, and the one thing that kept me going as far as college is, hey, I believe that God called me here to finish school. I'm sure you prayed that prayer several times, and you knew that several times. Hey, you know, there's problems come up and obstacles come up, but you have to know, hey, this is what God said. He said, this is what I'm supposed to do. He said I can do it, so I'm going to do it. Hold on to those promises. Hold on to what God says. Maybe you're here today and you struggle with salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you sit here today and you say, well, I struggle with it. Well, believe God. Shall be saved. Did you call on the Lord? Did you ask Him to save you? Did you ask Him to forgive you of your sins? Did you ask Him to come into your heart? Call upon Him and ask Him to do that. And if you do that, He said, you shall be saved. Hey, we don't go to the fair and tell folks, you know, if you'll pray this, maybe you'll be saved. We don't tell folks, well, if you call on the Lord today, you know, it might work out for you as long as you hold on till the end. We say, no, my Bible says you may know that you have eternal life. Grab hold of the promises of God. So God sends him into the Midianites' camp, and our text shows that these two men were talking, and again, it's an amazing thing as you think about it. You know, Gideon does it here, but they make reference to a cake of barley bread. Well, Gideon has already made it clear to God, I'm the least likely to do this thing. You know, barley bread was food for the poor people, and for Gideon to be referred to as this cake of barley bread. I mean, that's what he was. He was the least likely. He's not a soldier. He's not a big shot. He's not a leader. He's the least likely to lead the people. I'm telling you, God uses weak things. God will use anybody. God will use anything. Moses stuttered when he spoke, and God used him to lead his people. God used a rod. A rod. You know, just a simple thing. He used a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God will use anybody, anytime, any place, just somebody who's willing to grab hold of the promise of God and say, okay, God, if you said this could happen, then I believe you. I believe you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what all is going on around you. My Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. And if Christ wants you to do it, you can. You can, and He promises. My wife was helped out. Boy, we had a great day yesterday. Well, I say we. The ladies made 4 quilts in one day. That's absolutely amazing. This little program, we did it last year, and we'll give those to our missionaries at our missions conference. And somewhere toward the middle of all that, my wife came, and she was helping make a quilt, and she came and told me, she said, you know, it's amazing. She said, I don't sew, but I'm helping make this quilt. And you know, God can use you to do anything. God, you know, you say, well, I don't have a lot of talent to do, but God has something you can do. I mean, if Gideon can do this, if Gideon, God can use him as this cake of barley bread, he's the poorest of the poor, and God can use him, it's not about Gideon. It's about God's promise. Hey, God says, I will use you to do this. Who's going to win the victory? Is it going to be God or is it going to be Gideon? Well, obviously, God's the one that's going to have to do it, and God's the one that's going to have to do it in your life too. If it's finances, if it's health, if it's a relationship, God's going to be the one that has to do it. You're not going to do it. You and I aren't going to scheme and figure things out. It's going to have to be God. Hey, if things happen at the fair, if people are going to get saved, if folks are even going to come in, it's God that's going to have to do it. We've got signs. We've got little flyers. We've got all those things. We can't produce a salvation. Only God can save a soul. Amen? And God's the one that has to do it. And you know, God can use you. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Keep your place in Judges. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25. You know, it's so frustrating when folks say, you know, I just don't think God can use me. God will use you if you will simply take the promises of God and apply them to you. We always want to apply them to everybody else, but how about you? How about can God use you? Can you do all things through Christ? Well, of course you can. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The whole story of Gideon, he's outnumbered from day one. He becomes more outnumbered later on, but it's all about a guy saying, God, you said, you promised, and he held on to that. And God used him in a great way. He used him in a great way. He wasn't a great warrior. He wasn't a soldier. He wasn't a captain. But God used him because God said he would. Now, folks, God will use you too. And God wants to use you. And God wants to help you. And God wants to give you victory in your battle. You know, it may not be a victory the way you think it ought to be. And a lot of times, that's what we like. Well, I lost the battle. Are you sure? You know, sometimes God says no. You know, we always think, well, the only way that I got an answer to prayer is when God says yes. An answer is an answer. Have you ever told your kids no? Some of you haven't. But have you ever told your kids no? And they say, come on, give me an answer. The answer is no. No. Come on, I want an answer. No, what they want you to do is say yes. Well, sometimes God says no too. I'm just saying, grab hold of the promise of God. God's call. God has called us to claim those things. He says in Isaiah 44:3, I will pour water on him that is thirsty. Not on that guy that's full and has all kinds of things going his own way and doing it his own, what he wants to do. It's on him that is thirsty. Do you want something to happen? See, Kathy, you know, she wants something to happen this week. She's got a lot of issues and a lot of problems and a lot of heartaches and a lot of difficulties, but she really wants something to happen. And she says, God, pour water! I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. And I believe God's going to do that. And I trust Him for that, and I believe He will do that. And He'll do that for every one of us. Gideon believed the promise that God gave him. Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor, and you're going to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon believed it. I love it. Go back to Judges, and chapter 6 and verse 14. And this is so good. In verse 4, it says, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Go in this thy might. In other words, in his might, he could go. That's all he could. He wasn't going to defeat the Midianites in his might. You and I, sometimes we look at our obstacles and our battles and we think, I just can't do it. Okay, you don't have to be the one to do it. God just said to Gideon, go in your might. Well, he could walk. He could put his right foot in front of his left foot and then the left foot in front of the right foot and keep going. He could do that in his might. Let me ask you a question. Could you go? Could you go? Why? I'm not able to be a missionary. I'm not able to be a pastor. I'm not able to be an evangelist. No. Could you go? That's all you have to do in your might. You don't have to do anything else. You just have to go in your might. And that's all Gideon had to do. Gideon didn't have to, hey, Gideon, get out all your certificates of your battle worthiness and prove to us. God just says, hey, I know what your might is. I know what your ability is. And Gideon, you just go. I'm going to put the sword in your hand, and I'm going to use the sword, and I'm going to give you the victory. That's it. Go in your might. Your might is not necessarily to win. Your might is just to go. You and I, and we deal with this with soul winning. We deal with it with a fair ministry. We deal with it with any kind of work that is going on, and we say, I don't have the ability. Praise God. You're exactly the one God wants to use. Now, you just go. You just go, and God's going to use you, and God's going to give you the victory. Hey, you today, God can use you. Grab hold of the promise of God. Someone who's thirsty, someone who wants something to happen. The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's not about our ability. It's about just, I'll claim your promise. God wants you and I to claim His promises. God wants us to say, God, you said this was would happen, and I believe you, and I trust you for it, and just go. And just hold on to that promise. And just keep claiming that promise. And miracles take place. Because God is a miracle-working God. I think about Moses who stuttered. I think about Paul who we have the idea he was probably some little guy. He wasn't really a big guy. The Bible says about Paul he was rude of speech. And yet God used him in a great way. The Bible's full of people who God used because they were just willingness to grab hold of the sword and be used. So here's Gideon now. God has called him, and God has sent him into the Midianite camp, and they've gone into the camp, and they've listened to these men talk, and these men have said, we're gonna lose the battle. Gideon is gonna defeat us, and Gideon's got to be excited about that. You say, yeah, I'd fight this battle if I could hear some people talking like that, and God would show me that. Well, He's giving you something better. You have His word. You have His word. I understand. We would all love to have this happen to us. Well, we wouldn't necessarily want to be in that battle. And we wouldn't necessarily... Would you sneak into the Midianite camp to get by that tent and hear those words? Yeah, I don't know. Number two, let's look at God's comfort. So here's Gideon, and he's scared. And again, we have this one example, and we'll go back to that in a minute. But the next thing that actually takes place in Gideon's life after God calls him is the fleece. Chapter 6 and verse 36, it says, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand as thou hast said. And somebody said, wait a minute now, you can't question God like that. I think you could talk to God about anything you want to talk to God about. And I don't think God has a problem with that. I think God wants you to know for sure everything that He wants you to do. And that requires reading His Word. That requires studying His Word. The Berean Christians, they searched the Scriptures daily to see that it was so. Why? So that they could know. And Gideon here, you know, he's about ready to go attack the Midianites. He's about ready to go, you know, get after the Midianites, who he's already outnumbered. And the Bible says that this fleece, and it says it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and he thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And God answered that. Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once. You say, well, he should know by now. I mean, the ground was dry, the fleece was wet. He should know that this is what God wants him to do, right? Yeah, but he wants to really know. You know, some things in life, and it's just like Bible college. You know, it's just like, boy, you know, I'm going to be away from mommy, right? And her cooking, and I'm going to be away, and I'm going to miss everybody. I'm going to get homesick, and then I've got to work, and then I've got to study, and all these different things. And I just need to know. You do need to know. You do need to know. I'm going to be a missionary, and you do need to know. Well, I'm going to go on deputation. You do need to know. But again, you just need to get in this book so you know. Well, I'm going to go out to that tent, and people are going to come in. I've got to talk to them about the Lord. And you do need to know that God is going to honor His Word. God is always faithful to honor His Word. And so what's He say to do? He says, let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. Let there be dew. And so He says, reverse it, God. Last night, the ground was dry and the fleece was wet. And now tonight, could you make the fleece dry and the ground wet? Verse 40, and God did so. God wants you to know. God wants you to claim the promise. God wants you to know the promise is His Word. And in this case, He did exactly what was requested. It was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. You know, what a blessing. God's comfort. God's comfort. How many times have I, in the middle of the night, been concerned about an issue, concerned about something that's going on, and in the middle of the night, awakened and just started talking to God, and God had to give comfort about something. You know, a decision or a decision that I believe was no question because of the promise of God. And God had promised and said He would do it. And God had to give comfort. God, are you sure? Are you sure about that? God, it could be faith promise giving. God, are you sure that that's what you want me to do? Boy, I wish everybody wrestled with what they're supposed to do like that. So you know. This is what God, it's not just, you know, when that time comes every year, it's not just something to, the budget says, it's not a budget issue. It's God, what do you want me to do? I'm trusting you. You know what's going to happen in June. You know the economy in 6 months, in 8 months, in 10 months. And God, what do you want me to do? Gideon was scared to death. He was terrified. But that's okay. God's promises are what keep us going when we're scared. It's what helps us to take that next step. He had to go in His might, and His might had to grow to keep taking steps. It had to grow believing God and knowing God was going to take care of it. You know, okay, God, I'll do it, but I've got to know that You're with me. I have to know that You're going to do it, God. God let him know. You say, I'll tell you what, if I put a fleece out, you think God would do that? Well, I don't know if God would do it or not, but what I know He will do is if you'll claim His promise from this book, I guarantee He'll do what He says from this book. I guarantee if you'll, you say, well, I'm just not sure, and I don't know about this battle, and I'm not sure this is what I should do, then get in this book and read until God gives you the promise so you know. And God shows you. My Bible says we are more than conquerors. My Bible says all things work together for good. Those are promises of God. We need to grab hold of the sword of God's Word, His promises. I mean, the Midianites, 50,000 tents, Gideon had 32,000 men. You know? And I'm sure, you know, Gideon now, he knows, okay, God's here. You know, God's going to take care of this. I know that. Now let's go. But wait a minute. 32,000 men was too many. And God wants to teach him some more things. God wants to get him to claim his promises. You know, you ever think, okay, here we go, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong. All of a sudden a bill comes you didn't expect. Oh, you know, we're ready to go now. I believe God, and I know God's going to take care of it. And then tragedy strikes. Now what? He still has, his promises are always true. I can so clearly, and my wife could testify to this, I remember in college so many times, just right there, ready to quit, because it would have been so easy to quit. But just God, you said, you promised, you said, this is what you want me to do. You said I could do all things. And God, I claim that promise. Folks, it's a matter of, you know, you get all excited. Boy, you know, now I know God's with me, and that's where Gideon was, the fleece. One day it was dry, or one day it was wet, the next day it was dry, and you know, everything looks good. And he's got 32,000 men, and God says, no, that's too many. And God whittles it down to 300 against over 100,000 Midianites. By the way, 32,000 against 100,000. God was still going to have to do something. I mean, still was going to be... You know, with God, it doesn't matter how much the enemy has versus you. God's God. And with God's promises, it's the same way. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. We've heard that even recently. You know, well, the doctor said, and then all of a sudden, we don't understand what's happened. You know, we don't know what's happened. They don't have that. They're not going to go through that. It's not like we thought. God's promises are big, and he never lies. 300 men. And that's where our text actually picks up, as far as Gideon says, God, 300? 300? I know that you made the fleece wet, and then I know that you made it dry, and I understand you're showing me. You said you were going to do it, but wow, 300 against all the Midianites? And then he goes, where our text picks up, he goes out among 50,000 tents. This is what I like. I really think this is great. He goes out among the 50,000 tents. I don't know if you can imagine 50,000 tents. That's a lot of tents. And he goes out among those tents, and he goes to that one tent where those two men are talking. You say, that's lucky. Well, we don't believe in luck. But there was somebody there that dreamed a dream, and God put that dream there, and God said to Gideon, go there, and God heard what that man said. God heard that. You say, well, would God do that for me? I don't know if he would or not. I highly doubt it, but I promise you this. He'll lead you through his word to show you the promise that you need to hold on to. I know he'll do that because I know he's done that. I know if you'll get before God Almighty and you'll get on your knees and pray and you'll say, God, just show me, please show me so that I can keep doing what it is you told me to do, God. I want a promise. I want to hold on to your promise. Do you know God wants you to get his promise and hold on to it? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he wants us to get a hold of his word. Gideon, you know, he says, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do it? And God says, you go out to their tents, go to their camp, and listen to what they say. And he goes to the right tent. Two men are talking. One of them dreamed a dream. The one that dreamed a dream saw a cake of barley bread. Gideon thought, I'm sure he realized that was himself. But if he didn't, verse 14, the fellow answered. He said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. And he said, wow, you know, that's pretty good. God says, I'm trying to tell you, Gideon, you can trust me. You can trust me. You know, I just read the paper. Unemployment's at 18% in Michigan. God says, you can trust me. You can trust me. You know, there's health issues, people's needs. You've seen our prayer list. It is very full. God says, you can trust me. You can trust me. Some will go soul winning for the first time. You'll soul win at the tent, which there's really nothing better. You don't have to go to them. They come to you. Amen. That works real well, doesn't it? And you know what God says when that first one sits down and you have no clue what you're going to say? God says, you can trust me. And you're scared. You're more scared than they are. And God just says, you can trust me. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And our young people will be going off to college. And many of them will be freshmen. God says, you can trust me. It's going to be okay. It'll be all right. And it's always that way. You can trust me. You say, well, if I could hear them talking like that, you know, get in your Bible and look for a promise and grab hold of that promise. Grab hold of that promise. You know, I don't know when the financial crisis is going to end. I don't have any idea when all this stuff, you know, it may end with the rapture. And I guarantee when the rapture takes place, no Christian will have financial problems again. What you're going to do is leave all your bills behind for others to pay. Now, I'm not saying go out and charge up a bunch thinking, well, the rapture's going to happen, I'm going to live it up. No, don't do that. But the truth is, I do know this. Here's what I know. I know that God's promises are always true. Being one that's had to grab hold of them many, many times. Being one who's had the 32,000 whittled down to 300. And the Midianite tents are thousands and thousands and thousands. And knowing that the battle is it's impossible, it would seem. Being one, though, that just said, God, you promised. You promised. And I guarantee Gideon, in the middle of this battle, you know, he's taken his 300. How many times do you suppose he whispered to God, God, you promised. God, you promised. God, you promised. When he found out the weapons, you know, the pitcher and the light and the trumpet. You know, where's the nukes, God? You know, where's a real weapon? Do we have some tanks, some stealth bombers? No. But how many times did he say, God, you promised. You said you were with me. You said you'd bless me. These people are trusting me, God. You said you would do it. And he went back, of course, to the fleece. And he went back in his mind to this time. He was there and heard those men talking in the tent. And he got comfort from the Word of God. He got comfort from God's promise. Grab hold of God's promise. That's where the comfort is. That's where you need that comfort. God, you said you would do it. And then the last thing, number three, is Gideon's confidence. And to me, that's the key to everything. God, I've got to know. And that's what he was looking for all along. Would to God all Christians would want to know for sure. Everything. You know, just, God, I really want to know for sure. You know, it starts off with knowing that you're saved. Know for sure that you're saved. I mean, nail that thing down. You come to church week after week after week, and you tremble about it, and you worry about it, and you wonder about it. Know, ye may know that ye have eternal life. No one in this room has to walk out those doors wondering if you're going to heaven or not. Nobody has to. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You come to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other way, but you need to know it. Have you done it? You know, folks, they'll come, you know, and they'll, well, Pastor, I'm struggling. Okay, did you trust Jesus as your Savior? Did you ask him to come into your heart and forgive you and save you of your sins? And well, yes, I did. I said, okay, he said that you're saved. Now, did you do that? Well, yes, I did. Okay. He says, ye may know that you have eternal life. Now, did you do that? Ask him. I'll ask him over and over. You need to get alone with God and say, God, I believe you. I don't know. By the way, I don't know if anybody always feels saved. I'm not sure what that feeling is. I've just believed what he said from the day I got saved. And I, you know, do bad things ever happen? Oh, I'm going to write a book someday. You know, do bad things happen? Sure. What we would call bad, but God says all things work together for good. Now look, know you're saved. And you get saved, and just because it rains the next day doesn't mean you're not saved. Just because you had a flat tire doesn't mean you're not saved. Just because you blew it doesn't mean you're not saved. If it did, then no one's saved. Know you're saved. Know you're saved. If you're trusting in good works, you're not saved. If you're trusting in religion, you're not saved. If you're trusting in being sprinkled as a baby, then you're not saved. If you're trusting in mass, you're not saved. If you're trusting in baptism, you're not saved. If you're trusting in membership in a church, you're not saved. Trust Jesus as your Savior. Call on Him to come into your heart and save you. And know for sure that you're saved. Know it. Not hope it, not think it, not wish it, but know it. Know it. And if you don't know you're saved, you're not going to have victory. Because if you don't know you're saved, you're always going to be wrestling with am I or am I not? Know that you're saved. Know it for sure. No doubt about it. Just like God showed Gideon. I mean, Gideon knew. He took every step in his own might, but as God showed him, he claimed those promises, and he knew that that was what God was going to do. You don't go against 100,000 with 300 if you don't know for sure, and you certainly don't do it with trumpets and pitchers and candles. You just don't do it. You know. Somebody says, well, you know, he was kind of cocky about that, I guess. No, he just was sure. You'd have to be. You'd have to be. Know that you're saved. Number two, know God's will for your life. There's things you need to know. You know what God wants you to do. People come, well, you know, here's what I'm kind of thinking about doing. Okay, wait a minute. What does God want you to do? That's the most important thing. What does God want you to do? Well, I'm not sure. Okay, find out. Who do I talk to? Him. That's who you talk to. Find out what He wants you to do. Phooey I just need to read a book. It's not bad to read a book, but ask Him. Ask Him. God, what do you want me to do? You know, it starts so often right at an altar. When you say, God, I'm willing to do anything. I'll do anything, God. But see, that's where we have trouble, don't we? That's where, you know, many people who struggle with the will of God for their life, they have a hard time with that thing of saying, God, I'll do anything. I've had people say, you know what, I'm willing to do anything at all except, and there's where you get in trouble right there, except go to Alaska and be a missionary, except go to the North Pole and be a missionary. You know, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of people up there, but there could be. I'm willing to do, well, I'd go anywhere except where there's cannibals. Wait a minute, just God, I'll do anything. I'll just do anything. Know His will for your life. No, I'm not talking about 10 years from now. I'm talking about what does He want you doing now? What's He want you to do today? What does He want you to know His will? You know it's His will to go to church. You know it's His will for you to tell others about Him. You know it's His will that you read your Bible. You know it's His will that you pray. You know it's His will that you obey. You know it's His will that you do right. I mean, there's so many things we already know. Question is, are we doing those things? But no, for sure, no. And how do I do it? Get His promises. Get His promises. Bible college, okay, God, is that what you want me to do? I've called you to. Then God, that's what I'm going to do. You going to take care of me? I'm going to take care of you. Okay, and I knew that. And I knew it. And nothing was going to change that. Nothing would have changed it. Oh, it was close many times. No. God's will for your life. And then that's the secret. No. Sometimes we're not listening. Sometimes we're running. Gideon was smart. Gideon said, I've got to know. He put out a fleece. Gideon said, I've got to know. He said, God, are you sure? And God said, go find a tent there. There's a tent. You're going to find out for sure. And you know what? God gave us His word. Get in His word. Listen to preaching. Listen in Sunday school. Listen to God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Know His will. God wets our fleece in church. God wets our fleece as we read our Bible. God wets our fleece as we spend time with Him. He's given you promises, but if we ignore it, then we're going to miss out on it. Read it. He's sending you to a tent so you can hear. Now listen to what He says. And know God's will. Know that you're saved. Know God's will for your life. Know when it's your battle. Know when it's your battle. How? Well, when you're in it. There aren't any accidents with God. How many times do we see a battle start to form and we say, I'm out of here? That might be your battle. That might be what you're supposed to do. Could be money. Could be health. Could be a tragedy. Could be some temptation. Hey, you know, whatever it is, I mean, understand, God is God, and He knows what He's doing. and he has it under control. And how many times do we you know, we're in a battle and we say, hey, wait a minute, this cannot be right. That's what Gideon was saying. God said, oh, it's right, all right. You're the man. You're the man. You're the one. Know when it's your battle. Amen. Amen. And know you can win. If God puts you in the battle, you can win. I can do all things through Christ. I don't know how many times I've grabbed hold of that promise of God and held on to it. I can do all things. You can win the battle. You say, I'd rather not be in it. Listen, then find out from God. Get some promises from God. Let him show you. There is no way in this world Gideon and his 300 men win this battle on their own. It's not going to happen. They don't have stealth bombers. They don't have nuclear weapons. They don't have, you know, they're everything comes down to in this, and I've gone very, very fast, but everything comes down to who really is going to win the battle. It's going to have to be God. And you say, well, okay, you know, if I could see the fleece and if I could hear the men talking and I could know all those kind of things, listen to me. It's right here. Right here. You know, get in the Word of God. Listen in Sunday school. Pay attention in class. If you're a student, you're in Bible class in our school, get your Bible out and read it and study it and get the promises of God that are going to help you to go on and grow in the Lord and claim those promises for victories in your life. I watch Christians and so many just aren't seeing victories. You know, and it's not God's fault. You know, God wants to give us victory. It gives him glory when we have victories, and it gives him glory in our lives. Whether we're in a tragedy, a trial, a problem, whatever, but when we come forth after the purging and after the trial and after the sorrow, and we come forth, it gives God the glory. When we rejoice in the midst, because God, I claimed your promise, and you honored your word, and he always honors his word. Let's bow our heads, please. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're not sure you're saved. You don't have that promise to claim today. You can be saved. The Bible says we're all sinners. We all deserve punishment because of our sin. But the Bible says Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin so we could be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, God says. I wonder if there's anyone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never done that. I've never been saved. If I died right now, I really don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come get you. Just want to pray for you. Anyone like that, you'd say, I do not know whether I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anyone? Anyone at all? How many would say, preacher, God's spoken to my heart as a Christian? Something in my life God's dealing with me about? And I'd like you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? Just slip it up. God's speaking to my heart. I'm saved. I'm a Christian, but God's dealing with me about something. Pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. How many say, preacher, I'm in a battle. I'm in a battle, and I need some promises from God to get me through this battle, to win this victory. Pray for me. How many would say that today? Wow. God bless you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise. So many promises you give us. Thank you, God, for victories. And I pray that you'll help us to go in our might to seek the promises from your word so we can go forward and win the victory. And for some, Lord, it may look like instead of 32,000, there's only 300, but give a promise so they can go on, so they can know you're going to do it and save those that are lost today. God, please, if there's anyone here without Christ, I pray they would not leave that way, but they would trust Christ as Savior. And bless our invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. 276 in your hymnals, 276. Where he leads me, I'll follow. God's speaking to your heart today, and something you need to pray about, you come right now as we sing.
I can't.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. Any others need to come? God speak in your heart. You'd like to join these and pray about something today. Could be promise. You just need to grab hold and need God's help. Maybe showing you something, showing you from His Word, showing you from a message, so you can keep going. How many times in college it was a chapel message, just what I needed, a promise, something to hold on to. My Bible has notes and little words and little arrows and circled verses, promises to hold on to. Well, the bill's not paid, God. How's it going to? God says, let me show you a promise. God takes it. God always pays His bills. God always takes care of His needs. Any others need to come? The instruments continue. Something else, something's God speaking to you about. Maybe you're not saved. You need to be saved today. Whatever the need, you come. Look up this way, please. Tonight, 4:30, ensemble practice. 5 o'clock, the children's groups practice. And then, of course, our choir practices. And then we have our teen meeting also at 5. And our men's prayer time and ladies' prayer time all at 5 o'clock. Church service tonight at 6. If you are signed up to help out in the fair, a lot of things this week. Boy, make sure you are where you're supposed to be so that everything gets done. We, of course, have 2 booths there. Reformers Unanimous is set up inside the Merchants Building, and then our soul-winning tent there on the main ground. So I trust everybody will be involved. Pray. Many folks praying this week and just asking God to bless, and we're looking forward to what God's going to do and believe that He's going to do some great things. So I trust you'll be where you're supposed to be. Brother Pick and Paul, close in prayer, please.
Father, we do thank You for the salvation that You give, the promises in Your Word that we can know without a doubt that heaven is our home. And Father, I'd ask yet, if there's one in this room that doesn't know that, like Gideon knew he was supposed to line those men up around that valley, Lord, that they wouldn't leave without that assurance that heaven's their home. And Lord, as You lead in our life, as we spend time in Your Word, may we do what Pastor encouraged and admonished us to do today through Your Word, to trust You, to lean upon Your promises, to make those battles that You would have us to fight, and that we would allow You to win the battles in our lives by surrendering our will to Yours. Lord, we'd ask that You would bless in the work of the tent this week. Lord, there's souls that You know that need to come to You and You've been working with, and Lord, bring them by, and may we be effective in leading them to Christ. And Lord, as we leave from this room this morning, we pray that You would guide us and direct us, and that we would be sensitive to the leading of Your Holy Spirit in our lives. Gather us together again safely this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.